the whole of this crazy society is based on money. Ironically, money that has never, does not, and will never exist. It's just figures on the screen.
They've run the system, the whole economic system of the world for the last 2.5 hundred years. So why shouldn't they also run the economic system for the next few hundred years?
Welcome to Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm, and today is Thursday, July 26, 2012. Thank you so much for joining us. We're live, of course, worldwide every Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. on Mountain Time on Republic Broadcasting Network, talking about solutions, talking about the truth, trying to actually be a real part of the solution as opposed to a part of the problem, trying to cut through some of these news stories, like the thing that's gone on here in Colorado, and try to put a little truth to that. In the world of conspiracy, it's always fun and always natural to want to jump onto things, and I'm guilty of it myself, wanting to just go and assume the worst, because it generally turns out to be the worst when you look into these things where government has been involved in controlling people's minds, and governments around the world, including our own, have been involved in terrorist activities, shooting up movie theaters, you know, blowing up buses of people, unleashing deadly gases into subway systems. Time and time again, it's shown over and over that these things happen, and it's natural for many of us who are caught up in this news and information to want to see the worst in things, and so sometimes it's tough to just sit back and take it. I'm guilty of this myself because, look, before this show all got started, and I had to concentrate on actually influencing somebody's opinion, if they're actually listening and making sure that they're getting the truth in what I say, as opposed to just sharing a picture on Facebook or something like that that may or may not have a quote from a proper person or have proper information on it, because it doesn't really affect anybody. It's, you know, at worst, somebody sees it that knows that the information is false and calls you out on it, and that, you know, that's generally the worst that can happen with that, because nobody really should be taking a lot of that stuff too particularly serious when it comes to numbers and things like that, unless they actually go and look at them themselves. And I found myself in that position, so I have to go and I have to analyze these things from a rational point of view. And in the sense of this this shooting that's occurred here a week ago now, almost, taking a look at it, I would normally pretty much just go along with the notion that this is a completely programmed event. Obviously, there were two shooters, and obviously, everything that everybody is conjecturing about is probably true, because I wouldn't have taken any time to actually go and investigate it, because it's not a particularly worldly important story unless you talk about the gun aspects and just the overall notion of collapse of society, those sorts of things. They're sort of esoteric notions, but the real information is down here on the ground, actually really happening. The real things that are going on out there, aside from all of this conjecture and all of this, is that people are suffering, that people are still in the hospital, people are unable to afford to pay for their bills, people have buckshot along their side and didn't even realize it until they'd already escaped and got out in the car, and it still must be fake. This couldn't have been real. It was all such a movie, and it all happened at the same time. And disseminating the truth in this whole thing has been very important, and I haven't wanted to spend too much time on it, but it's just so prevalent. It's right there in your face. Every day, somebody new is latching on to the ideas that aren't necessarily true, that don't seem to be true. And I'll give you my own perspective. It comes like this. I didn't base my opinion of the things that have happened on somebody else's opinion of the things that happened. I actually formed my own based on the information. We'll talk some more about the news when we get back on Mile High Liberty Radio.
Mile Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because, one, it is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. Two, the money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. Three, the parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Hey, aloha, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are Mountain Hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can Mountain Hours benefit you? Mountain Hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain Hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain Hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero-interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution. The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without the reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com.
You're listening to Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm. We're here live every Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time, talking about the truth, talking about solutions. And I hinted to a notion that should not be foreign to this audience, but may be foreign to many, many other people out there. And that's the idea that you actually have to invest some time and form your own opinion about some of these things. And that my conclusions regarding the shooting events over here are based on having done hours and hours of research since the thing has gone on, looked at all of these, well, not every notion, but looked at most of these notions about what has happened in the theoretical world or what may have happened as far as that goes. But I've spent more of my time over in reality land actually listening to what the what and who is saying, who and what they are saying as far as the witnesses go, and how they talk about things and how they describe things. I've spent quite a bit of time here lately talking about this. It's unavoidable. Everybody's talking about it, and there's just this so much disinformation or misinformation, if you will. It's not even purposeful. I suppose disinformation gives that, but misinformation that is just pointedly unnecessary at this point. And if you want to talk about the reality of what's going on here, it's about people who are dealing with wounds and who are hurt. And let's listen to their stories and find out what actually happened. And I did that today with a particular story of a girl named Carly, who was there at the theater, who got shot by a shotgun early on. I said that I formed my own opinions about these things, right, based on what they said. So let's take an example before we go into the Carly Richards thing. Let's take a specific example of what happened at this movie theater. The gunman came in, threw two canisters, apparently, of gas. It doesn't seem to be tear gas, even though some people have said that. I don't think they actually know what real tear gas is and don't realize how incapacitated and blind they would be if it just about hit them in the face, like this girl Carly Richards talks about. But we'll get into that. So the canisters come flying in the room from the bottom of the movie theater. People, there have been two witnesses now and four reports that I have seen specifically and listened to with my own eyes. Two of the reports are from the same guy, the same kid, and that's the black dude in the red, that horrible, horrible red tank top. Just, it's a disaster. The guy's a fashion disaster. But if you listen to his words and his story, his original story, it's changed a little bit since then, if you can believe that. It started out that it was about a 20-minute gap between him and the guy at the door, and the guy at the door is the same guy, even though he sits there and says that he might have been waving. Well, I've said all along that that might have been just that he pretended to take a phone call so that he had a reason to go over and prop the door open, and that one witness says they propped the door open. But both him and this other witness in the first stories talk about the tear gas canisters. They never say that there's actually a second person. They just talk about how there must have been, because most people do this, and because it looked like this, or it seemed like this, or there was never anything specific that actually says there was two shooters. Just a couple of people, two individuals specifically, based on the canister thing. And this popped into my head the second I heard them say this. The very second these news reports came out that I saw them, that this person said the canisters appeared to come from behind. I had it pictured in my head immediately exactly what happens, and it's exactly what I've described to you. In a movie theater, it's a slope up. Somebody tosses the canister as he comes in the door, walks in fairly nonchalantly. Nobody notices him, really, except maybe a couple of people right there by the door. He gets the two canisters tossed. Before anybody even notices, then he starts shooting. Then some people start to notice, and some people start to move. By witness accounts, very few people actually bolted for the door, it sounds like. Just some actual wounded people initially from the first couple three. That's all he would get, shotgun blast. They say the shotgun blast came first. He could only got a couple three. The AR was dropped pointing in outside of the theater, so it must have broken at some point early on, and he was not able to use it. I don't know. We'll probably find out all these details. But what I pictured immediately when this guy, this disaster in the red tank top, and I'm not, you know, it's just a horrible fashion statement. I ain't saying anything about the dude. I don't know nothing about the dude. I just remember it very vividly because it's just this disaster of a red tank top and this guy talking about this. And immediately I picture this. The shooter comes in, he tosses the canisters. Nobody's noticed the canisters. It starts shooting. Now people start to notice. Somebody sees the canister as it's tumbling back down underneath the chairs by the people that are ducking. It's the first time they've seen it. They never saw it the first time. They think it's coming from behind them or from the other direction. They don't even know what's going on in all the chaos between the movie and all the shooting and everything that's going on. So, but, and now there's stories starting to come out all over the place. I have a friend, Jonathan Elinoff, who's here, who had a friend that was shot and killed in the theaters. And he's told many, many stories, shared a number of those stories with me just in the last few days as this has gone by, and all of his other friends in social media. And one of these stories that's come up, and this is actually from the gentleman who was on yesterday, Chris Custer, he actually shared this one with me, Carly Richards' story of survival. And listen to what she's saying. Except for the claim of tear gas, everything she's saying seems to jive with what I'm talking about. And it's a very lucid account of what's going on and what happened immediately, because she's sitting right by the door, basically. She posts this, her little firsthand account. And there's a couple of different ones. I guess I could have shared this link. I grabbed this late in the gathering of information. As always, if you go up there to milehighlibertyradio.com, you can click on today's date, and you'll see any number of handful of stories that I picked out that we might hit on today, just because they sounded interesting. But I figured we'd end up spending some time talking about this issue, because of course we're going to have to talk about this issue. And there's so many more issues, the gun grab, and Obama coming out and saying that, you know, things like AK-47s, and that most gun owners would agree with it. We'll dive into all of that in respect to all of this entire issue, in fact. And oh, while we're on top of it, you don't even have to take my word for it. You might have to take my word for it today on some of these things that I say about guns and things that I've said in the past. But Tuesday, you can take the word of Larry Pratt for it, because Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America is going to be on the show first thing right at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Well, about 3:08 Mountain Time, we'll bring him in after the first break. We'll try to keep him for at least a half an hour, if not longer, to talk about the UN gun treaty, the shooting here, and anything else that we can get him to comment on. It was Second Amendment and the ideas that I've suggested to you about being a people's right above the touch of government, above the dictate of government, all these things. We'll ask Larry Pratt, the executive director of Gun Owners of America, when we get him on here on Tuesday. And sorry, I'm trying to get a drink here. It's a little dry. I've been running. Temperatures up and down here. It's been raining. I know everybody's talking about this drought. Believe me, we can come back to the shooting story. It ain't going anywhere. It's good. It's like a bad rash left over from a weekend of bad choices in Vegas type thing. It's not going to go away for a while. We can come back to it. But this drought issue, I've skirted around a little bit and talked about it a little bit. They've been running around. It hasn't made as much press as it might otherwise have. So I actually have kind of let it go. It's really been kind of nice. Because the truth is that, you know, one decent little rain can wipe out months of drought. And I was talking about how we have a nice green lawn here, but we're called in drought. We're not watering. We're not. There's water restrictions in Denver. We're not watering anything. We don't have the sprinklers on. It's just been natural from the rain and stuff. We've had plenty of rain to stave off the drought. You might have to water the garden if you want to grow some food, but other than that, you know, the grass is doing fine. And that's my comments on the drought thing for now. I don't know. I'm really glad about the fact that it really has fallen by the wayside, but it's unfortunate that it has to be replaced with this story and this ongoing story, and really a bunch of the fallacies that are around it. And so I'm talking about this Carly Richards, and I'll post the link up there during the next break for you. It'll be down on the bottom under David Koppel down there. And the last article that I had chosen for today to take a look at, I'll add it at the bottom of that. And you can go and read this whole thing for yourself, because it's long, and there's feedback from people, and there's feedback from her, and then there's been updates at different places and links. But I just want to talk, you know, she goes into a lot about how she actually was there in the theater, and she talks about, you know, how they almost got kicked out because they were arguing with somebody, or she saw somebody that was arguing with somebody and thought they might get kicked out. And, you know, just the stories of her standing in line, and it didn't have anything to do with this necessarily. In fact, she doesn't mention anything about noticing this individual beforehand specifically. He was just another person at the premiere, which was packed. So she's watching the movie, and the emergency exit to our right by the big screen comes open, and I've always pictured this from the right side too. It doesn't violently swing open, and it also doesn't very quietly creep open. The door opened as anyone would normally nonchalantly open a door, as I've suggested from day one. A man enters wearing what appears to be a gas mask, and for some reason, and she says it looks like the one worn by the villain in the movie. If it's the one that's been pictured on the ground, it doesn't look anything like the one worn by the villain Bane. And we're going to come back and finish this up, because this paints a real clear picture of what actually happened, and the idea of a second shooter is not here in this clear picture on Mahi Liberty Radio.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372. Or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back to Mile High Liberty Radio. We're here live talking about the truth, trying to find solutions, trying to be a part of the solution as opposed to a part of the problem, getting through to the truth in some of these stories like the shooting that's happened here. And I'm actually giving you an account from an individual who was involved, that was actually there, was right by the door when he came walking in the door nice and calmly, or this individual, whoever it was in a gas mask. Don't get me wrong, I don't discount the idea that there may have been more people involved peripherally, but there was not two or more people in that theater shooting. There was only one person in that theater shooting at people, and there wasn't somebody from the backside. There wasn't somebody from the other side. It was just the one person from that one exit. And this is from the reasonable, lucid witnesses, not the ones that are making conjectures. These are the ones that have actually clearly remember it as clearly as they can. She this whole story from this Carly Richards person and the other individual, Chris, that was involved there, that they had been in the movie together, and it helped her out. This whole account is very long, it's very detailed, and she explains parts that she doesn't remember or are confused. And that was one of the things that I started to say before we went to the break. And I did, as promised, when we went into the break, I did as promised. I went up there, MyHighLibertyRadio.com, on today's date. Down at the bottom, the very last story is this Carly and Chris's story, and then that way you can go ahead and read it for yourself, because I'm only going to hit on just the part where she's talking about getting in there and see and actually watching the movie start and getting into it a few minutes. Let's see if where did I start at? Where did I end at? I know she talked about the Bane mask. Looking like a Bane mask. Let's see if I could get there. I was scrolling around messing with a bunch of things during the story, during the break, to get the story posted up there so that everybody else, like you, could see it as well and look at it yourself. Because like I said, there's a lot of comments and everything and feedback. So anyhow, we got our tickets. That's her words. Anyway, how we got our tickets, used the restrooms, headed into the theater. It was packed, as I suggested. Four theaters showing the film, so that explains exactly why there would be confusion about which theater it was. Plus, there were shots apparently that went through the wall and injured people in another theater. So that again discounts the idea of maybe a second shooter running around in another theater. I've even heard that suggested. Didn't happen. Let's see. Upon surveying the seats, saw there were two seats at the bottom next to a little kid. Didn't want to strain our necks to see the film, so we moved upward a little bit. I was about to go for two seats at the end of an aisle, and about halfway up the stairs, as Chris really wanted to sit close to the center, he led us to two seats in the middle of a group, told us that the two seats were taken. We then moved to the two end seats that I had previously intended to sit in. Chris was on the outside, and I was seated next to a fairly large woman looking up at part of my seat, and she was taking up part of her seat, and they complained to her, and let's see. To briefly explain where we were sitting, we were facing the screen, and from our point of view, we were far left side of the theater, maybe 10 stairs up. So she's all the way on the other side in the far corner, has a complete view of him down coming through the right-hand side of the theater at the bottom. She has a perfect view of him looking at him, is what she's telling us by the story. Further away on the other side, and she watched him throw the canisters come to that side of the room. So they did come from that side of the room, as I've suggested, based on this one person's. So we came to this part. So I'm watching the movie, and the emergency exit to our right by the big screen comes open. It doesn't violently swing open. It also doesn't quietly creep open. Just opens as anyone normally, nonchalantly, open a door. Man enters wearing what appears to be a gas mask, and for some reason it looks just like the one worn by the villain in the movie. It's just her impression right away, but it's not. If it's a gas mask, it doesn't look like anything like the thing Bane has. Bane has this little mechanical-looking breather apparatus sort of thing that traditionally was a part of the drug system that he was in. The story has been all confused, and I haven't actually seen this movie yet, so I don't know how confused it is in regard to Bane, but she says right here... just to clarify, or at least that is my messed up recollection of it. It also appears that he's wearing some sort of combat gear. So now it seems that right there she's, you know, filling in maybe a missing piece of her story based on what everybody else has said. I was immediately a little freaked out, but I assumed it was a promotional stunt. So she's watching the dude. I was immediately a little freaked out, but I assumed that it was a promotional stunt from the theater and was a moment and was meant to do so. So I think I heard weird popping noises, and a can or something came flying towards us. She's all the way on the other side of the theater. Came at her. The girl next to me and I both swatted at it as it almost hit me in the face, as I said before. It seemed at this point, I still think, and that was 10 rows up, she said, if you remember back from what I said. Exactly. This is playing out exactly as I've tried to paint the picture for everyone. Let's see. She heard the weird popping noise. They're trying to knock it out of the air. at this point, I still think it's a promotional thing. Perhaps it was a T-shirt gun, or some idiot was throwing at us cans of some up-and-coming energy drink or something. Maybe it's a prank. Who knows? Well, the can landed at our feet, and Chris is saying something like, "What the F is that?" And I'm smelling it to see what it is. In a split second, she says she recognizes it as tear gas. It would have put her in tears, would have been making her gag. She doesn't talk about any of that, so I don't know. You got to take some of this at face value. We're talking about the story on High Liberty Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because, 1, it is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2, the money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3, the parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Hey, aloha. I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are Mountain Hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can Mountain Hours benefit you? Mountain Hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain Hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain Hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero-interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or reba is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or reba is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours.
This is Mile High Liberty Radio. I'm your host, Michael Storm, and we're here, as always, talking about the truth, talking about solutions, and you know, being a part of the solution. I don't know, that's my thing today. It came to me at the beginning of the show, and I'm sticking to it, you know. We're trying to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Let's solve these things and move on. There's somebody out there that suggests that that this story shouldn't be a national story, and I find it hard to argue with that. I often find myself in that exact same position with regard to talking about some of these things. One of the big ones that you might think of, the Scott Peterson guy, the guy that killed his pregnant wife there in California and stuff. It seems like sometimes some of these things just need to stay where they are and let the police and then the authorities deal with them and let the rest of us go on about the business, you know, let those people heal and let them do, but they do. And so instead of that happening, I end up coming here and talking about this, but I want to do it because I want to clear up all of these stories so far about this and concentrate on the notion that these people, there are people that still need help, that there are still people who are dealing with the injuries from this in comas. More, at least one individual that I know of for a fact, there may be others still dealing with this. There was 70 people shot. Only 12 of them died. That means there's 58 other people out there that are still dealing with this, plus all the families, plus all these people. You know, it's been like five working days, and now it's apparently okay to talk about banning guns, the president seems to think. We'll probably get into that. All of this applies together, and right now we're just trying to clear up this whole story of this shooting right here. I'm not doing it for my own edification. I don't relish the idea of having to sit here and explain to people, and in this case, some people that I like and some people that I tend to trust their word, explain to them that they're hyped up and not paying attention to this whole story and not using their common sense. I mentioned earlier that when it came to picturing how this happened from the witness testimonies, even the ones that got some people confused about a second shooter being there, every single one of them, I thought about them on my own and pictured of it. And as the story is coming more, the picture is becoming more clear from the individuals who are actually involved in the events, particularly the one that I'm talking about right now, at least anyway. And this is Carly Richards story of survival. And I posted the link up there at MahiLibertyRadio.com. Click on today's red link date. Down at the bottom, it's the very last link. It was the last thing I pulled together before the end of the show. There's a ton of information. There's more story, much, much more story. But if you were listening, I went through just the basics of it, pulled out the middle of it, because there is a ton of story. And she's trying to say how grateful she is to people and the people who helped her out, and you know, particularly her friend Chris, who kept a level head and kept her in on it. And there's tons of feedback that's in there, and she's put other feedback on there, and it might be something very interesting and telling for a lot of you who are removed from this story, and of course for any of us here at home that I don't know anybody that was in the theater, but I know someone who knows someone who was shot. I'm good friends with, not like Facebook friends. This is a person that I've actually sat down and had a beer with and a real conversation. Somebody I know. We're not buddy buddy. You know, we don't hang out every day or anything. But I know the guy, and he knows somebody who has a friend that was killed there. Somebody that he used to work with, and like seven other people that were wounded. So I mean, some of us are really, really close to this story, and so it's hard not to follow it. There's no way not to follow it. You can't not follow it, especially when you're constantly bombarded with this, you know, sort of misleading information. You know, I started to say disinformation, but it's not. It's misinformation. It's just somebody wanting this to be true. And again, I'm not discounting the idea that there's other people involved in this, or that it's a mind control or anything like that. I'm not discounting those notions, except for where I'm specifically discounting those notions, where I have said that I am. You know, there's a picture going around on Facebook that's this composite picture of this supposed killer James Holmes, and it's one picture from some time ago. It's like the very first picture that we ever saw of the dude. And it's this just sort of raggedy, grayish, not very great picture, maybe a cell phone picture or something like that. I don't know. It's not a particularly great picture. And then the mugshot, and they're side by side, and somebody has grabbed a hold of the noses and popped the noses in there, and the noses look different. And I tell you what, you've heard me talk about this before on the show. I am a master manipulator of images and documents. I forge documents for the purposes of proving that they could be forged to fool people into proving to being to showing them that there was this is a forged document and you just got fooled by it. On multiple occasions, I have done this. I've been manipulating and creating images in the digital world. I've been taking pictures all my life since I was a child. I had my first camera as soon as I could push the little 110 cameras. You know, you remember those? One roll film to the other side, and it's that little funny shaped. I don't know. So many people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about right there because they've never actually seen one. 110 cameras were popular when I was a child, and they were fairly inexpensive, and you could buy the film for like a buck a roll or something and get 25, 30 pictures. And I had my own camera all the time since I was a young child, always going around taking pictures of downtown. I've been to different places around the world. I just love to take pictures. I still do it to this day. Even when I've had opportunity to shoot video, like at Puff here 2 weeks ago, I chose to shoot pictures instead. When I went to the zoo yesterday, I shot pictures. I've been digitally manipulating images since computers used the word plot to put a dot on a screen, and I literally would make pictures one dot at a time on a computer. I've been doing it that long, and I've taken these images before in cases like this where people are, who is this person? And in particular, most recent example, something that I shared with all of you, is this the picture of Henry Kissinger dressed up like a woman at the Bohemian Grove, and it was a picture that Mark Dice and others had come up with from the archives out there. And this is not a big secret. It's not like they just made the picture up or anything, but they were all questioning who it was. So I did the same process that I'm about to tell you about that I've done with this James Holmes picture. And I'm going to do it again, actually, in depth, I guess, because to try and explain this and show how this works. But I took the image of Kissinger, and I said, oh, well, I know that's Kissinger. I've seen that man's ugly face enough. Even in drag, I recognize it. So I immediately, randomly, from an image search on Bing, chose another picture of Henry Kissinger that I didn't care about the age. Not, I didn't want one that was too young. That was the only standard I set for myself because he didn't look particularly young, per se, in that picture. He had makeup on, but he didn't look young. So I wanted a picture of him as an adult, older male, and I grabbed one at random off some random site. I couldn't even begin to tell you where it was or how I did it. It was one of a number of pictures on a number of sites that were the exact same picture of Kissinger. The only other stipulation was that I wanted something where he was generally facing the same direction. Well, it's almost perfect. You can tell by the cock of the guy's head that when he knows he's having a picture taken that it's him. But what I did is I took one image, the image of him, and made it clear. Made it, transparent, not clear, about 60% or something like that, and put it over the image, reshaped it so that the heads were the same size generally, and then overlaid it so that you could see that the eyes lined up and they matched up and everything. And he has the same basic expression on his face. Well, I'm not going to have that same ability quite with what we've got from this James Holmes, based on at least the two pictures that they've used to try to say that this is a different person. But they only look at the nose. They don't look at any of the other things like the Adam's apple. They don't look at the dimple on the right side, just about 20 millimeters from here, from the right nostril on his nose. There's a dimple in his chin. It lines up on both. There's also just about maybe 18, 17 millimeters underneath. You know, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here. 17, 18 millimeters underneath that dimple on the right side of his face is a darker patch, some discoloration. It's not hair. It's a skin tag of some sort, a mole, something like that. Just some darker discoloration area of skin. Maybe he was injured there. I have scars on myself where I'm slightly discolored. Maybe that was it. It matches up on both of the images. The only thing that doesn't match up is the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. And the only reason is because at one point he's tilted at a different angle. But I challenge you. I'll make sure to share this picture, because I don't think that I've only shared it on my personal page. I'll pop this up there at the on the Mile High Liberty radio.com site during the break, and I'll also, while we're sitting here talking about it, share it on the Facebook page for Mile High Liberty Radio. That way, if you're up there, you can get a look at this thing, exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to show how the process works, how I measure the eyes and stuff like that. And you can do that even with a digital file pretty reliably on a flat screen like I have, and I'm able to do. And it's a large screen, so I'm looking at a very large picture, almost face size of the individual. And I think I'm going to make a video that shows how I actually go through the process of combining these images and where the points are that they line up. And if you want to sit there and measure the things, there's two very distinct different looks on this guy's face in these two pictures, so it's hard to tell. He's tilted up and smiling just slightly. Tilted and big smile on his face in one picture, which tends to make your nose flare out a little bit. And the other one, he's doing sort of a, ooh, my eyes are really, really big. And if you do that and stretch your eyes open really wide, you feel the point of your nose kind of stick out further. Those are the only points of contention in there. Even with this real quick image that I did, you should be able to tell that basically what's off on one side of the face is off on the other side of the face as well. I pretty well lined up the ears, ear to ear, do the measurements to the nose, from ear to ear, and you can tell. If you just the left ear, that's camera right, picture right ear, it, look at it. Right there in front of your face. Even if you only have the other two images, or if you've only seen those other two images, you can see that that ear is a perfect match. There's just a little bit of hair around it. That's the only difference. It's otherwise the exact same ear. There are more points. Like I said, the dimple that's in there. People aren't looking close enough at this. They're just wanting to see what they want to see. This doesn't have to be a different person to be a programmed shooting. There doesn't have to have been a second person there to be a programmed shooting. All of these things will probably come out. Believe me, that place was surrounded in cameras. We'll find out the details of that. But here, now the story starts to get interesting, because let's talk about it. I've cleared up the points about he's not trying to be the Joker. He's not trying to be Bane. He dressed like a cop. We know that the canisters came from one side to the other side of the theater and then rolled down the hill by witness testimony, not just by my telling you that that's what happened for the last week, because the witness is actually saying that that's what happened. She's telling us she was 10 rows up on the other side of the theater and the canister was thrown at her. Okay, that completely verifies exactly what I'm saying. And she's saying that most people, if you you got to go up there and you got to read this girl's story. She's very lucid, very clear about what she remembers and what she doesn't remember. She got shot when the dude came in the door, apparently. When she was running, I guess. I would have to get a whole picture of the theater and have to go through and reread all this stuff. But, man, she got shot. She got buckshot all the way down the back side of her. You can see the pictures in there that she took of herself in the mirror. And she still got some of the buckshot in her, if you can believe that stuff. That's crazy. This whole story is crazy, and like I said, it starts to get deeper. So let's go deeper. Let's talk about the conspiracy. Let's talk about the notion that, well, all right, yeah, he very easily, if the person is wearing a mask, could be somebody different than was the shooter. We have no idea who the shooter was ever, unless we actually get released at some point a piece of video that shows him, which has been my suggestion from day one, that he propped open the door at some time 10 to 20 minutes after the movie started. He slipped out that door that he left propped open, went, got his car, brought it to the spot in the theater where they found it at that point, got his gear on at that point, and came back in. We should be able to find that out real easily. I mean, there's a lot of video cameras around that theater, just like there are in almost all public places anymore. So, you know, it might feed the conspiracy further, but there doesn't have to have been a second person there on spot, but there could have been. So let's say it was a second person. Let's say here's been the postulized theory that dude is in his car drugged, doesn't know what's going on. Maybe he was with a buddy. Maybe he doesn't know this other person is there or not. We have no idea. It doesn't matter. Dude is drugged. This is all conjecture. Dude is drugged in his car. Somebody else in gear goes in, shoots the place up, runs past the car, drops all the gear on purpose, leaving the trail, runs past the car, drops the gas mask further than the car where they say they arrested him, and runs off around the corner, apparently bleeding like a stuck pig, if you want to believe these stories, because the trail of blood that I saw was somebody who was seriously wounded. It was not somebody who had just stepped through some blood because they just got through smoking a bunch of people in a movie theater just for fun or because they wanted to prove some political point or I don't know what. We don't know yet. Oh, there is one of the interesting things has come out, and this is a link that I shared up at MileHighLibertyRadio.com, and I put it as, you know, somebody did I share it up there? Maybe I did not. I might have to go and do that one in the break and share that one with you. This link is, let's see if I can find it. Boy, I might have to find it. I'm going to have to, somebody was talking about, obviously the idea that, there was a second shooter and that ultimately that, these pictures showed bloody prints of that killer having run away from the scene past the car where they say the killer's car, this James Holmes car, past that point, apparently was picked up by somebody on the sidewalk, threw their mask even further down the road and kept on going, a very sloppy attempt to try to make it look like this drugged out guy in the car was actually part of this that had just happened inside the movie theater. I hope to wrap this up if we come back on Mile High Liberty Radio. It's a tough, tough topic.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you completely fed up of being dependent on those fat cat electricity monopolies that raise your rates again and again? Are you terrified about how you'll keep your home and family safe when a power crisis happens? 123/power.com has set up a free video presentation that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they are: incompetent lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy, others have called it a cover-up, and you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. The video at 123/power.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret to slash your power bill and beat the electricity monopoly for good. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123/power.com and discover one weird trick to cut your power bill and protect your home. Easy to remember, 123/power.com. Go watch the video now before they shut it down. Again, that's 123/power.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to Mile High Liberty Radio. We're here talking about trying to analyze, trying to find the truth in all this information, the media, disinformation, misinformation, all of the above that exists out there regarding this James Holmes and the case here in Colorado of this mass murder that happened, this mass shooting that happened here last Friday morning at the premiere of the new Batman movie. And I was trying to find that link, and I realized why I didn't find that link, and here's what it is. I'll just give you the short breakdown of it. Right now it's coming out. I found it through Max Kaiser's website and started following the links and and ended up someplace that I didn't necessarily like to be in. I'll tell you about it in this search for this information and where it left me and where I may or may not have to pick up again at some point. But I picked up this link through Max Kaiser and started following this story that that this James Holmes' father, Robert Holmes, was involved in the Libor scandal. And we've talked about that. It's the banking scandal. The Libor rate is a percentage rate that they base money exchanges and interest rates and, you know, all these things on. It's an interest rate number that's set for worldwide transactions in the UK, and it's LIBOR, Libor Bank scandal. It's what's going on, and supposedly this James Holmes' father is part of this, really right at the core. Supposedly, I've had anything to prove this at all, and that's why I didn't share this link. If you want to find out about this, you're gonna have to go out there and look on your own, because as I started going through it, I came across the name Sorcha Fall. And if you don't know who Sorcha Fall is, it's Sorcha Fall. Sorcha Fall. If you don't know who this is a media person who doesn't exist, and nobody knows who it is. There's conjecture about who they are. They've never admitted who they are. There's links to Nevada. There's links to Nova Scotia, Canada. There's a runaround going on from this Sorcha Fall, and some of the European Union Times articles often are Sorcha Fall, and some people claim that this guy is this that it's a guy pretending to be a woman who's made up this incredible past history. It's just, you could go look up the person for yourself and try to follow this story. I stopped at that point. I was already 5 or 6 links deep from where the original story came from before I got to Sorcha Fall. And I stopped at that point because there was other things to do. I didn't want to look into it any further at that, because once you reach that, you're talking about having to do a whole bunch of research, because this person hides their identity. They claim to be in truth or conspiracy theory groups, you know, on that side of things generally, but the stories on the website are generally very fantastic, and they actually even in the about section of their own website talk about how some of the stuff and the stories might be made up on the website. So it's one of these things that you can't trust, and you would end up having to do your own research. Plus, they're saying that the guy's an actual his name is David Booth. He's a member of the CIA COINTELPRO. So could be. But I stopped at Sorcha Fall. Maybe you won't. We're going to get into some different news when we get back on Mile High Liberty Radio. We'll be right back.
When the collapse comes, are you going to be fortified with the basics for building the society God